Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. How beautiful that we can be together here to share this precious time of spiritual awakening. So welcome, everyone. Welcome. Well, today we have a movie that's been given us that is clearly a movie for undoing special relationship, clearing away the cobwebs of the past, of ego judgments, of ego attachments. And I think all of us can agree that in this world, in terms of our earth experiences, we have experienced guilt and fear, pain, shame. It's been that's the roughest part of the ride on earth, because we're here praying for joy. We're praying for inner peace. We're praying for happiness. We're praying to know the kingdom of God within us, that Jesus talked about. The kingdom of heaven is within. And yet we've had a lot of experiences that relate to planet Earth that basically have been very, very hard feelings. We'll say, you know, sometimes people say no hard feelings. Well, the kingdom of heaven is no hard feelings. The experience with Earth has not been a no hard feelings experience, but it's all for us to unlearn the ego and unlearn the past. And we do, some of you have followed me for years, we've had a lot of movies and we have our Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment. And we do love our time-related movies, because linear time is at the bottom of it all. It's part of the ego's invention. And Jesus has told us in His Course in Miracles that the present moment is the closest approximation of eternity that this world offers. So we're on this mysterious journey inward to the present moment, to find the present. The same thing that all the mystics and saints and avatars have talked about for centuries. Be present. Ram Dass, be here now. Eckhart Tolle, the power of now. Byron Katie, love what is. She doesn't say love what was. She doesn't say love what will be. She says, love what is. So we're on a journey to the present moment, to the gateway to eternity. And we have found, of course, that it doesn't seem easy to stay present. Our mind seems to be constantly caught up in thoughts of the past or thoughts of the future. Jesus says the past is gone, it can no longer touch you, but he also says the past is gone, the future is but imagined. These concerns, past and future, are but defenses against present change of focus. Whoa, we're not talking repression, denial, projection. We're talking past and future are defenses against present change of focus. So what we're really looking at here is we've been addicted to the past and we've been in like a Groundhog Day time loop where the past keeps repeating and we keep reacting to it as if it's present. And Jesus says, no, 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 the past is not present. The past is gone. But even though it's over and done, you're mentally reviewing what has already gone by. He tells us in lesson 158, imagining that you're still making the journey again. So we love our time loop movies. And Before I Fall, Groundhog Day, there's repeaters, there's so many of them. We do love our time travel movies. Why is it so good? It's because all of our judgments and all of our challenges and struggles at work, with the world, with food, with weight, with appearance, all of our challenges and struggles, including our struggles in relationships, all are based on clinging to the past. We're trying to relate to our brothers and sisters through the past, and then the past is the ego's domain, the present is the Holy Spirit's domain. And when we try to relate to our brothers and sisters through the past in many ways, shapes, and forms, we feel guilt because the ego is trying to induce guilt and perpetuate guilt. That's why it made time and space. God didn't create time and space. God creates in spirit. The ego made time and space. It made all the cosmos. It made even bodies and everything of time and space in order to perpetuate guilt. And all of the great mystical traditions have said you have to sink down deep in your mind into deep prayer and meditation, and you have to drop below the contents of consciousness, which are the contents of bodies and time and space. And you have to come into a stillness that is so pristine and so pure and so perfect that as soon as you drop into it, you recognize who you are. It's the I am presence before time was. It's the present moment that's untouched by the past and the future. It's untainted. It's untarnished. Every moment is a clean, untarnished, fresh rebirth. And that's why if we can be in the present moment, we can be in the presence of God, because God is present. God is not past or future. God did not invent linear time. This is a big invention for inducing and perpetuating guilt, shame, fear, pain. And God has nothing to do with guilt, shame, fear, and pain. So today's movie will involve two main characters, and their names are Henry and Claire. And this is a time travel movie. Henry, he is our time traveler, and eventually he will end up marrying Claire. He visits her when she's a little girl during his time travels, and he visits her pretty frequently until she's about 18 years old, and then she hasn't seen him for a while. Actually, when she's just turning into a young woman, she actually meets him in a library, and she's like, it's you. You're the one who kept visiting me. And so this movie is a love story. But as with all love stories, we want Jesus to take this very heart-opening love story of romantic love, of human love, and we want him to lift our hearts and minds higher and higher and higher to show us love from the Spirit's perspective. Because the Spirit's perspective doesn't see anyone as special. Jesus didn't see any person different than anyone else. He didn't make distinctions between children and adults or infants and children and adults. He didn't make any distinctions based on appearance, male, female, gender, on age, based on cultural things. He met with the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. He was meeting with those that were priests, that were rabbis at the time in the Jewish tradition. He was also meeting with Romans because the Romans were occupying Galilee at the time of Jesus. But agape love, unconditional love, or as Byron Katie says, love what is unconditional love with no strings attached, no judgments, no conditions. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to be something or do something to prove your love. It's just unconditional love. And that's God's love. God loves unconditionally. So before we go into this movie, I thought I would give you some beautiful teachings from Jesus, because I want you to hold these teachings in mind as you watch this movie. Yes, you just can relax and enjoy the movie, and you'll see what a masterpiece it is of falling in love and feeling deep feelings of love and connection, but also you'll see the challenges that come up in relationships, and you'll see the difficulties, you'll see the frustrations, the irritations and annoyances, the anger that comes up. All of those things I just mentioned, those are all egoic interpretations of the relationship. There's one point in A Course in Miracles where Jesus says the ego peopled the world. He uses peopled as a verb. The ego peopled the world. In other words, the ego projected out its guilt, which is what it is. It's a death wish, and guilt is a major emotion along with fear. And it peopled the world, and it made up physical bodies that would represent the guilt that is still being held in the mind. And the whole trick of the ego is to have the mind believe that time and space and people and relationships, interpersonal relationships, are real. And then find that they're filled with guilt and shame and pain and hurt and betrayal and abandonment and all these things. But the ego doesn't tell you that those are just ego interpretations of what's happening or what seems to be happening. And all those emotions are being generated from the ego. These are the ego's emotions. God doesn't know anything of pain, sorrow, hurt, abandonment, betrayal, fear, guilt. God didn't create any of those emotions, but they are generated by this false self, this ego belief system in separation. And so all of the struggles we seem to have is in time and space are ego struggles. It's just our mind's determination to hold on to the ego belief system and then see it as if it's being acted out and somebody's doing it to us. Blame the government, blame your children, blame your parents, blame your culture, blame your politicians, blame your dictators, blame anything, blame the weather, blame the sun for solar rays, magnetic rays. You know, the whole world of time and space is set up to see that there's an external cause. Oh, I got skin cancer, and it was that damn sun, the damn ultraviolet rays of the sun gave me skin cancer. And Jesus is like, that's just like this burning gas that's very bright, and it sends off rays and everything, but that the sun is your projection. The moon is your projection. The planets are your projection. The galaxies are your projection. Your husband's your projection, your wife, your projection, your children are projections, the trees are projections, the giraffes projection, the ants are projection. Everything without exception is a projection. And Jesus says a projection is the attempt to get rid of guilt by seeing it as if it's somewhere else. So not seeing that the guilt is in your mind by believing in the ego, then you see it in all kinds of forms and shapes. And for most of us, the most guilt comes up into awareness with our relationships. It's our close relationships. They have done statistics on homicide, and most homicides occur within family relationships. It's not outside. It seems to be closer to the projector, because the emotions of abandonment, betrayal, guilt are so strong in relation to the people. Jesus says, let me remind you once again, you put those people there to displace the guilt from believing you're separate from God onto the people. I did a video one time on YouTube, and the title of it was called People Are Thoughts. Let me explain that a little further. What does that mean, people are thoughts? People are past thoughts. If you have a grievance with any person in the world, it's simply they're acting out the mind's addiction to clinging to a past belief system, ego belief system, instead of forgiving. So that's why forgiveness is the key to happiness. That's why forgiveness offers everything I want. That's why forgiveness is everything that Jesus spoke about, because he knew that until you release these past thoughts and the belief in past and future, you're just going to suffer from guilt, your mind will, in awareness, and then not in reality, but in awareness, you'll suffer from holding on to past guilt. And the people actually are doing us a favor. That's why Jesus tells us that everyone on earth has formed special relationships, but the Holy Spirit can retranslate those relationships and take us into the present moment, the holy instant. We have to start to be grateful, though, that the people are acting out the unconscious thoughts that we weren't even aware of. It seems like they have a will of their own, these people. It seems like they have a mind of their own, private minds, private thoughts. It seems like they're actually doing things, they're behaving in ways that sometimes irritate us and annoy us. But as Jesus has told me hundreds of times, the world is not happening to you, the world is happening for you. What does that mean? What do you mean this world is happening for me? If God didn't create it, how is the world happening for me? How is this for me at all? And Jesus says, well, you're able to see your unconscious beliefs that you've hidden acted out in the characters. And anytime you get upset with any of the characters, then you really know what you have to forgive. If you perceive somebody as arrogant, it means you believe in your mind in arrogance. God didn't create arrogance, but if you see somebody as arrogant and you're upset with them, it's because you believe it. And now the trick of the ego is seeing it acted out in someone else, somebody else who's arrogant or who's cheating or who's lying. All the things we hate about people, all the things we seem to hate about different dictators or politicians or even our neighbors or anyone, anytime we hate somebody or something, Jesus is saying, you're still addicted to this somebody or something because you're still addicted to the ego. You still believe in the ego, and now this is your chance to be free from the ego. So at one point of the text, Jesus starts off one paragraph by, he says, anger is never justified. Wow. I mean, What does that mean? He's saying you are never angry without your minds playing some part in the anger. You're angry because the ego has told you something outside of you has done something wrong to you. And that's why you're angry. But Jesus said, use the power of your mind, and by believing in the ego, you put that projection there, and now you believe in the projection, and now you think the projection is the cause of your anger. No, Jesus says, lesson 5, 6, 7, 8, I'm never upset for the reason I think. I'm upset because I see something that's not there. I see only the past, and my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. 5, 6, 7, 8, those are the workbook lessons. He's teaching us, you're never upset for the reason you think. And more than that, your anger is never, ever, ever justified. There is nothing that anyone can say and do, not even the Holocaust, not even mass murder, nothing that the world can show you that would be a cause for anger. If you choose to see it with the Holy Spirit, you would just see the impossibility of it. You would see the nothingness of it. You would see, I am still as God created me. Nothing's been done to me. I'm still a perfect child of God. I was created by God, and God's not changed his mind about me. God sees me innocent as the Christ, and I still am the Christ. I'm always the Christ. I was created as the Christ, and I will forever be the Christ. So before we start, I'd like to do a little meditation. Just relax. I'm just going to give you some beautiful words from Jesus to kind of set the stage for us today, because this movie is so good at revealing that as long as we hold our brothers and sisters in expectation, then we do not see them as they truly are, as spirit. And Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is not here to destroy your special relationships, the ones that the ego made. The Holy Spirit honors the mind that made them, but also the Holy Spirit would transform all special relationships to holy relationships, where your motive goes from trying to get something from your brother and sister to always being in the mode of giving. Just like God only gives and the Holy Spirit only gives, Jesus learned the lesson of just give a blessing, extend the love and truth of our true being, our Christ self, and then you are home free. You literally are in alignment with the Creator and the Source just through giving. But when we want to try to get something from our brothers and sisters, that's when we get into trouble. There's a part where Jesus even says, when you want anything from a brother, you will see him as a brother no longer. That's amazing. You know, you could say, wait a minute, is that practical? If I'm a cashier at a grocery store and somebody comes to the checkout line and I want the money to pay for the groceries, Jesus is saying, no. Actually, if you go deep enough, beyond jobs and roles of this world, when you want or expect anything from one of these projections, these ego projections called people, you're not going to see them as a brother anymore, because you're going to perceive them through scarcity and lack. That's when you want something from somebody else, you're seeing them through scarcity, and you're seeing them through the need to get something from them. And that need in the mind is the problem that's generated from the ego. So here we go. This is what Jesus has to tell us before our movie today. You cannot love parts of reality and understand what love means. This is from chapter 15. If you would love, unlike to God, who knows no special love, how can you understand it? To believe that special relationships with special love can offer you salvation is the belief that separation is salvation. For it is the complete equality of the atonement in which salvation lies. How can you decide that special aspects of the sonship can give you more than others? The past has taught you this, yet the holy instant teaches you it is not so. Because of guilt, all special relationships have elements of fear in them. This is why they shift and change so frequently. They are not based on changeless love alone. And love, where fear has entered, cannot be depended on because it is not perfect. In his function as the interpreter of what you made, the Holy Spirit uses special relationships, which you have chosen to support the ego, as learning experiences that point to truth. Under his teaching, every relationship becomes a lesson in love. The Holy Spirit knows no one is special, yet he also perceives that you have made special relationships which he would purify and not let you destroy. However unholy the reason you made them may be, he can translate them into holiness by removing as much fear as you will let him. You can place any relationship under his care and be sure that it will not result in pain. If you offer him your willingness to have it serve no need but his, all the guilt in it arises from your use of it, all the love from his. Do not then be afraid to let go your imagined needs which would destroy the relationship. Your only need is his. Everyone on earth has formed special relationships, and although this is not so in heaven, the Holy Spirit knows how to bring a touch of heaven to them here. In the holy instant, no one is special, for your personal needs intrude on no one to make your brothers seem different. Without the values from the past, you would see them all the same and like yourself, nor would you see any separation between yourself and them. In the holy instant, you see in each relationship what it will be when you perceive only the present. God knows you now. He remembers nothing, having always known you exactly as he knows you now. The holy instant reflects his knowing by bringing all perception out of the past, thus removing the frame of reference you have built by which to judge your brothers. Once this is gone, the Holy Spirit substitutes his frame of reference for it. His frame of reference is simply God. The Holy Spirit's timelessness lies only here. For in the holy instant, free of the past, you see that love is in you, and you have no need to look without and snatch love guiltily from where you thought it was. All your relationships are blessed in the holy instant because the blessing is not limited. You have so little faith in yourself because you are unwilling to accept the fact that perfect love is in you. And so you seek without for what you cannot find within. I offer you my perfect faith in you in place of all your doubts. But forget not that my faith must be as perfect in all your brothers as it is in you, or it would be a limited gift to you. In the holy instant, we share our faith in God's Son because we recognize together that he is wholly worthy of it. And our appreciation of his worth, we cannot doubt his holiness. And so we love him. All separation vanishes as holiness is shared. For holiness is power, and by sharing it, it gains in strength. If you seek for satisfaction in gratifying your needs as you perceive them, you must believe that strength comes from another. In the holy instant, God is remembered, and the language of communication with all your brothers is remembered with him. For communication is remembered together, as is truth. There is no exclusion in the holy instant because the past is gone, and what goes with it goes the whole basis for exclusion. So, what he's teaching us is that in heaven, love is union, is oneness, is one spirit. And on earth, through the ego's distorted filter of fragmentation, love is perceived as exclusion. The opposite of the true meaning of love, which is union and inclusion and wholeness and completion, through the ego's filter, love is seen as exclusion. And this can take the form of a special partner in a relationship or a marriage. It can take the form with children, my daughter, my son, with parents, my father, my mother, my neighborhood, my culture, my country. It doesn't matter what you put the my in front of. God knows you as you are. So the most truthful two words, if you call them words, two words you could say is I am, and put a period after that. That's how God sees Christ, as I am presence. And once we add anything on to it, I am American or Russian or Japanese, I am, you know, German or British, as soon as we put I am male or female or masculine or feminine, as soon as we put it wealthy or poor, as soon as we put it beautiful or ugly, it doesn't matter what we put after I am. We've taken ourselves beyond the realm of spirit, which I am is spirit, and we've put ourselves in the realm of ego, in the realm of comparisons, in the realm of attachments. So this is why all the great sages and mystics have said, empty your mind of everything you think and think you know. Empty your mind of the contents of consciousness, because even below consciousness is pure spirit of I am-ness. And that's how you know God. You know God through your I am-ness. I am as God created me. There's a workbook lesson that Jesus repeats over and over and over. My mind holds only what I think with God. I am, period. There's nothing else. There's nothing that comes after that. But when it comes to relationships, when the mind feels so lacking because of the ego belief in scarcity that it searches for love in form, it draws forth witnesses that seem to play out roles. Father, mother, sister, brother, daughter, son. It seems to play out roles of grandmother and grandchildren, grandfather, grandchildren. It seems to play out roles even with Course in Miracles students. You know, I am, it stops right there. You don't have to stop. You don't have to continue with I am a Course in Miracles student or I am a Course in Miracles teacher, because even that is the realm of concepts. You know, in this world, we have different statuses. One big distinction is whether I am married or I am single. And Jesus is like, please, please stop at I am. The married is a concept in this world, and the single is a concept in this world. You were never married. You were never single. There's a beautiful movie called What the Bleep Do We Know, where one of the scientist is saying that asking questions about this world and our identity in this world is basically like asking the question, what is the marital status of the number five? I love it when that's asked, because what that shows is he's saying the number five doesn't have a marital status. And Jesus is saying, neither do you, Christ. Your marriage is with God. You were created by God. You are forever married to God, and you will never be married to anything and anyone but God. These concepts of persons and persons getting married and divorced and single and all kinds of different categories and classifications like they have on Facebook, Jesus is saying, please, none of these classifications are true. The I am presence is the only thing that's true. You are created by God, and in that sense, you're married to God forever, and that will never change. I was looking at a Facebook post the other day, and it said, It said, be addicted to God, not people, places, and things. My friend Dakini posted that. And I thought, there it is. If you're going to be addicted, why not be addicted to your creator, which you can never be apart from, and you share the same will? That's where you should line up. Don't try to make these false affiliations in form and obtain some type of love or pleasure from these, because Jesus says a son of God, the Christ, cannot relate to anything external. And this entire projected world is external. There, God did not create form. God knows not form. And when you look in terms of like the basic things of unfair treatment, that seems to be a perception so strong with the ego of being unfairly treated, Jesus says, beware of the temptation to perceive yourself unfairly treated. When it comes to looking for something in the world through skills, abilities, persons, places, things, status, fame, recognition, anything, Jesus is saying, no, nada, no, nada, no, no, no. Please don't look to the world for your worth, because God created you holy, and nothing in this world that you think, say, or do, nothing that you make, nothing you seem to achieve or accomplish, nothing of this world will bring the worth that comes from your holiness of your I Am presence. Now, since we've got a movie called Time Traveler's Wife, and we're going to look at the concept of marriage today, Jesus talks about special love relationship, which basically is the ego's attempt to come up with something that will provide some love. Most people in this world say, well, I don't know if it's going to give me perfect love. And Jesus says, if it won't give you perfect love, it's not worth it. Lesson 133, I will not value the valueless. So this is what Jesus has to say about special love relationship, which he spends 9 chapters from chapter 15 to 24 talking about the special love relationship. Beyond the poor attraction of the special love relationship and always obscured by it is the powerful attraction of the Father for his Son. There is no other love that can satisfy you, because there is, in italics, no other love. This is the only love that is fully given and fully returned. Being complete, it asks nothing. Being wholly pure, everyone joined in it has everything. This is not the basis for any relationships in which the ego enters, for every relationship on which the ego embarks is special. The ego establishes relationships only to get something, and it would keep the giver bound to itself through guilt. It is impossible for the ego to enter into any relationship without anger, for the ego believes that anger makes friends. You know, on the surface, that sounds like, what? Anger makes friends? Who of us believes that anger makes friends? And Jesus says, if you believe in the ego, and you do, then you do believe it. Whether you're aware of it or not, you believe that anger makes friends. This is not its statement. The ego will never tell you this. The ego, this is not its statement, but it is its purpose. For the ego really believes that it can get and keep by making guilty. This is its one attraction, an attraction so weak that it would have to hold it at all, except that no one recognizes it, for the ego always seems to attract through love and has no attraction at all to anyone who perceives that it attracts through guilt. So he's talking, this is the beginning of chapter 15 of those 9 chapters. He's starting off by telling us that every relationship that you perceive you have in this world, because it's a form, it's a body, because it's based in time, its underlying premise was guilt. That's the reason it was made, was to perpetuate guilt. It's called the attraction of guilt. And what even seems to be romantic attraction is still a part of the attraction of guilt. You know, we're looking for love in the persons. And we're thinking there might be a perfect match or an ideal mate or a soulmate. And even this, Jesus will dispel, and he'll teach us there is one life, and that I share with God. That the love that we share as Christ with God is the only love that there is, and we will only know love as perfect, which love is perfect, in our remembrance of God. So we're dealing with the letting go of every single thought and judgments we've ever had about anybody ever. The Hitlers and Mussolinis, the ones we thought were popular in our mind, the ones we showed favoritism to, our special love partners, our special hate partners, all of it is based on guilt. And this movie is going to show us that today. When we think people are together, you know, how Jesus says minds are joined, bodies are not. Even when we define a relationship as two bodies that are together, Jesus says he is not in love with the other at all. He merely believes he is in love with sacrifice. And then he goes on to say, yet they only seem to be together, these bodies. For relationships to the ego mean only that bodies are together. It is always this that the ego demands, and it does not object to where the mind goes or what it thinks, for this seems unimportant. As long as the body is there to receive its sacrifice, it is content. To the ego, the mind is private, and only the body can be shared. So you see that Jesus is saying only the mind can be shared, only the Holy Spirit's purpose can be shared, and to the ego, the mind is private with private thoughts, and only the body can be shared. So everything we've learned about love in this world is completely false. Not a single ounce of truth in anything we've ever learned about relationships in this world. Every single thing we've learned, reciprocity, compromise, okay, I'll do it your way this time, but tomorrow night we do it my way. It's all sacrifice. It's all projection of the belief in sacrifice. That's why it's so unsatisfying. That's why people go, I'm single and I can't wait to get married. And then when they're married, I'm married and I can't wait to be single. People are always trying to get out of something because deep down they miss God. They miss God, they miss heaven, they miss oneness. These kind of artificial roles are not satisfying to us, you know? As soon as we get in something, we're trying to get out. And as soon as we get out, we're trying to get back in. You know, it's absolutely absurd, the human condition, but it's all just the ego being activated and playing out. Now, today's movie is good because Henry is going to be the time traveler, that when he befriends Claire and eventually they decide to get married, the time travel is going to become a huge forgiveness opportunity in the relationship. Imagine you get married to somebody and on the wedding night, you're just in romping around on the bed and getting ready for to sanctify your marriage. And all of a sudden, boom, your husband disappears. All that's left is his clothes. You've got your mind, you're imagining, ooh, it's gonna be a good night. And then boom, he's gone. He's just gone. There's just clothes left. And imagine this doesn't just happen one time. Imagine you're sitting down for a romantic dinner. You've prepared the meal, you've lit the candlelight, and you go in there and you go in to get the final dish to come out to bring to your husband who's waiting at the table. And guess what? He's gone. That kind of throws water on the flame of a romantic dinner. This is going to happen repeatedly Because when Henry time travels, he can't control when he travels. He can't control when he's going to disappear. And wherever he goes when he time travels, he ends up nude. I know for you and I, if all of us, God said, listen, I'm going to give you an ability to time travel. I can go anywhere. I can go anywhere in history. Yeah, you can go anywhere you want and everything. There's only one condition. When you arrive where you go, if you go to visit Henry VIII, I see Sarah over there in England. You want to go back to visit Henry VIII. The only thing is, when you land in the era of Henry VIII in that place, you're nude. So, Henry, this is a problem for Henry because he doesn't get there with clothes on, like addressed for the appropriate occasion and time period. He's nude. So that's a problem for him. You see, he's going to have to make adjustments. He time travels nude, you know, okay. The other thing that's interesting about this movie is, even though Henry can time travel, he can't change the past. Imagine if you could go back and revisit all the scenes in your life and you could only go there and see them, but you could not change them. This is a beautiful reflection of lesson 158. The script is written. You cannot change the past. You can only change your interpretation, which is the Holy Spirit, but you can't change the past. That's why when people tell me, oh, my life would be so much better if only I'd done this and this and that differently and this and this, if only I could change five things in my past, I would be a lot better off. And it's like, it doesn't work that way. You can't change the past. You can only change your present interpretation to line up with the Holy Spirit, who shows you that the past is unreal. How's that for an interpretation? What about this happened? Why did my parents treat me this way on my fifth birthday? Or why did this boyfriend or girlfriend destroy my life by saying this? And Jesus is like, I'll tell you a little secret. It never happened. You believe that it happened and you still hold the grievance of a past thought. But in truth, in reality, in spirit, in God, it never even happened. That's why the whole course is saying, forgive your brother for what he did not do. The world teaches, forgive your brother, your sister for what they did. And the course is saying, no, no, it's your own misperception. You've got a time disorientation going on in your mind. The filter that you're looking through that's showing you linear time is completely egoic and completely distorted. It's like if you had a hat on and, you know, and you were living your life with the hat like this, and you're going around, you know, you're partying, you're dancing, you're interacting and everything like this. And then you finally feel hurt and pain in your heart. And then Jesus says, hey, here, let it go. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You mean I was completely in the dark the whole time and now you're taking the dark away from me? And he's like, yeah. Actually, you are as God created you. You are innocent. And you've always been innocent in God's mind and in to God. And God's what counts. God is real. God's will is actually what is you've been wanting to accept and recognize. And when you think you have a will apart from God and you try to play it out in time and space with bodies, it doesn't go well. Jesus is saying everything of time and space is the belief in a personal will apart from God. And a lot of us grew up, you know, we kept hearing the word sin. And Jesus is saying, don't make such a big deal of sin. Sin is living in the dark. And when you let go of the mistake and you let Jesus lift the darkness from your gaze, then you go, Wow. And Jesus says, see, I told you sin was silly, but you made such a big deal of it because you got so caught up into time and space and bodies. You know, you forgot eternal life. You thought you could throw away eternal life and be content yourself with the dust of time and space. And Jesus is saying, not so. That's why the angels are always laughing, because no matter what the humans are going through, the angels are giggling and laughing, waiting for the humans to say, help. Then they move into action. But they just laugh until they're called on for help. You know, they really can't take it seriously because they're all agents of the Holy Spirit. The angels are agents of the Holy Spirit. And there's a gentle laughter of love. That's like, it's not so. Choose again, my brother. Choose again, my sister. I could see peace instead of this. Choose happiness. Choose joy. Choose love. Choose laughter. Choose being your Christ self. Don't get caught up. First, he seems to be just a little boy in with his mother at Christmas time. He's in the back. She's in the front driving. They come drive past the Santa Claus, he's watching. And then here comes this automobile smash up where their car is hit by a big truck. And he's witnessed the scene where his mother is killed and he time travels out of, he leaves the scene before the crash occurs. He time travels to 2 weeks before where his mother and father, his mother's reading to him, and his father comes over and sits on the couch with him. He travels to 2 weeks before the automobile accident. Then he travels back and he's shivering on the side of the road and he witnesses the same accident that he witnessed from inside the car, from outside the car. Now he watches the truck come and hit the car that his mother was driving. This is like what I mean by, if you could witness time travel and witness scenes and you had no opportunity to change them, but you would move in and out of time, this is starting to show you time isn't what it seems to be. You can see how this would collapse your view of time, of linear time, very quickly, if you went through this. And that's actually what Jesus wants us to do. He's saying we've been mesmerizing to believe in linear time. We really believe in the progression from past, present, and future. And really, it's not that way at all. Actually, he's telling us time is simultaneous. It's all happening simultaneously, and we're just choosing which channel to tune in. But because we don't hop out of time like Henry, we pretty much feel like a fly stuck in glue. We feel like we're a body stuck in time because we don't typically time travel. Some of us may do it in our dreams, and sometimes we do have astral projections, and we do find ourselves traveling to different aspects of time and space or to different times, but it's very rare. So the movie today is giving us a glimpse that time is not what we think it is. We're just watching the past and we're imagining that it's part of a continual flow, past, present, future, past, present, future. But Jesus is saying that's part of the mesmerism, that's part of the trick. Because if you believe in past, present, future, you're still going to believe in past hurts, and you're going to try to use the present to manipulate the images to avoid future hurts. And that is a very fearful state. We call it survival. In human terms, that's like the pressure for survival. But underneath it is a time distortion. We're not really seeing anything through our five senses in an accurate way. We become accustomed to darkness. We become accustomed to wearing the hat over our eyes. You know, we think Hi, how's it going? Hey, mom, how's it going? You know, oh yeah, sure. I'll be over that barbecue. Da, 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 da. You know, we don't realize that we're what we call life, biological, organic life, is an attempt to just live in darkness. Make the best of the darkness is what we're trying to do. That's what the human condition is trying to make the best of darkness. And Jesus is saying, oh my gosh, if you knew you were entitled to miracles, and if you knew who you really were, you would laugh at the darkness. You would just think, how ridiculous. How could a mind ever cling to such craziness and silliness as darkness? So I'm glad we got to see this sequence, because we're starting to realize that the whole movie is help designed to loosen our mind a little bit from this crazy linear construct that the ego has put before us. And in the end, we will. I was talking about this in Mystical Christ Academy on Thursday, but we will have to start to pull belief away from our five senses. We will have to finally throw our hands up in the air and say, I do not understand what anything is for. That's a workbook lesson. We actually are going to have to take Jesus at face value when we do these workbook lessons, and not just read, I do not understand what anything is for. I do not perceive my own best interest. We actually are going to have to say, oh my God, I really don't know what anything's for. And that usually comes up a lot of confusion and disorientation. We feel fear when we believe we can't understand this world. And Jesus says, remember, it's a projection of the ego. You were never meant to understand this world. This world is not your home. You're a spirit. You're created by God, and you're awakening from it. But even when fear comes up, just give it over to the Holy Spirit. Don't hold that fear in your heart, even if it feels out of control. If you've spent your whole time-space adventure trying to figure out the world, and suddenly now you realize the course is teaching you to not figure it out, to give it over, to let it go.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.